So we come to the third part of our series on Haggai, which started way back with part one a few weeks ago. And that's God calling Israel to come back and build his house, to build his temple. They had given up after a while. They had given up and they had focused on their own lives and not on the things of God. The people were asked, please come back, build my house so I can reside with you. Part two, the people were discouraged and God reminded them that even though they may never rebuild the temple in the splendor that it once was under Solomon, he was still with them and they must be strong and not fear. And today, part three, we see a different problem, and that was a problem of their attitude. They really hadn't changed much. They're working on the temple, but guess what? Their lives and the way they live their lives just never change. They still focus on themselves and day-to-day life than rebuilding the temple and glorifying God or making room in their hearts for God. And they were focused on so many different things, they really neglected this personal relationship with Almighty God. Nothing changed about them spiritually, and so even though they were building God's house, they still had problems in life and making ends meet. So God had to have another pep talk with the Israelites and instruct them on the necessity of growing spiritually. And so, with that, our sermon is called today, Be Holy and Let's Plant. And it covers Haggai chapter 2, 10 through 19. Let's turn our Bibles to read that again. The book of Haggai. We're going to be in chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. Let's turn to our scripture. For those of you that don't have a Bible, you can use a pew Bible. And it's on page, Haggai 2 is on page 668. So grab a pew Bible, page 668. But before we start, I want everybody to turn to one another and say these words. It's time to plant God's Word in our hearts. Why don't you do that? It's time to plant God's Word in our hearts. Amen. Okay, chapter 2, verses 10, if I can find, okay, there it is, verses 10 through 19. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But from this day on, I will bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you, the quietness of this sanctuary, one more time, one more Sunday, we do ask, Lord, that we feel and we sense your presence, that your words be spoken through me in a way that's understandable and in a way that we can apply it to our lives. Dear Lord, I ask that nothing in me is defiled. I just ask for forgiveness for things I've done, Lord, and I just come before you just asking to be cleansed so that you can use me as your vessel. So with that, Lord, we lift your word up to you and are excited with high anticipation of what you're going to teach us today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. So from these verses, we get instructions on the importance of building his house. Building his house with the right heart. And we basically are given some sound lessons on the need to grow spiritually. On a need to build that temple of our heart that's just made for him. Here are some pointers or lessons on the need to have a change of heart and grown spiritually with him. So let's just kind of walk through these verses, kind of unpack them, and see what they mean for us. Point one, being associated with holy things doesn't necessarily make you holy. Do I hear an amen on that? God is saying on the 24th day of the ninth month, the second year of Darius, this is what I'm telling you. It's important to remember that he's setting aside a date, saying this is a date, mark this in your mind and in your hearts on this date. By our calendar, it would be the 24th day, it would be December the 18th, 520 B.C., and I said before, only Jerry and I remember that date. But it was an important date that God wanted to be a transforming time in the people's lives. It's a date that he'll mark again in these passages. It's a date in which he says, look here, on this day, I'm going to tell you something. On this day, I'm going to tell you something. The first thing I'm going to tell you is this. First thing I'm going to tell you is that you can't be holy by just touching something that's holy. In that time, they would have sacrifices. They would have sacrifices of a perfect animal. They would go through purification rites of the high priest to make sure that everything was done in a holy and perfect way. And what God is telling the nation here is that if they had taken that consecrated meat, which they passed out to the priesthood to eat, if they had taken that meat, put it in their apron, and walked around, would it make the apron holy? Would it make the person carrying the meat holy? And what do the high priests say? What do they say? No, it's not going to make them holy. And God is saying to Israel, and he's saying the same thing to us, that just because they're rebuilding the church, or just because we're going to church, it doesn't make us holy. Just because we're associated with church things and church activities, these things in themselves will not make us holy, no more than eating at McDonald's will make us a hamburger. How many of you kids eat at McDonald's or Burger King? You do? You do, Trevor? Did eating at McDonald's ever make you a hamburger? Huh. Who else? Who else has eaten at Burger King? Burger King? Come on. Justin, Matt. Has putting on that crown ever made you a hamburger? Okay. And that's a point. That's a point. Let me read something that someone said. He says, holiness is not transferable. In other words, touching things that are holy or being new to holiness does not make you holy. One more example. I did an example for the kids and the young adults, but here's one more example. Ladies, this is a clean white shirt. Okay? If you put this clean white shirt in your laundry basket of dirty clothes, will it make the rest clean? Will it? Don't we wish? But that's an example. That's an example. That being close to holiness won't necessarily make us holy. Point number two, being associated with unholy things will make us unholy. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? And the priest said, yes, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation of my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. In Jewish law, the dead are defiled. Not to touch the dead. How many people have heard of the Jewish tombs that were whitewashed? The whitewashed sepulchers? Okay. That's the story. They whitewashed it so that you could touch the tomb, but it had not been whitewashed, had it not been purified. If you touched it, guess what? You got defiled. You were unconsecrated. You had to go through all these purification rituals, the mikvah baths and the such. So God is saying holiness doesn't rub off on others, but unholiness does. Now, this is pretty bad. These pants I wore on my last fishing trip. Okay? And, you know, there's mud. I fell a few times, you can see. You know, and as you put worms on your hook, you kind of wipe it off on your pants. And you kind of pass it around. You know? How about the kids? How about you, Trevor? Do you want to touch that? But it's the same example. It's the same example. Ladies, what happens when this goes in the wash? Sometimes. Let me give you another example, a true example. My wife did a load of underwear for me, undergarments, my t-shirt and the such. And somehow, a tiny, brand new red sock appeared in the laundry and got washed. One little sock. And so how do you think my underwear came out? Pink underwear. Imagine a pastor wearing pink underwear. And that's what this is saying. God is saying, so it is with this people. No, he's talking to his people, but he's trying to get the point across. Like I said, the one time in my sermon, that's how our parents got the point across. That boy, that's the way it is with that boy. I'm your son, Dad. I'm your son. That boy. And that's what God is saying. That's what's wrong here with this people and this nation. Because my people, my nation, wouldn't do that. They would not do that. So whatever they offered, even their work, it was defiled. It was done with an unholy heart. It was just doing work. And there was nothing here. And God couldn't prosper them. Pastor Timothy Peck said this, an impure heart contaminates everything it touches. It's from the heart that real defilement comes. From thoughts of sexual immorality and murder and jealousy, hate, greed, and gossip. Only God can purify a human heart. Only God can purify a human heart. I'm going to ask a very serious question. I don't want you to blow whistles on previous churches, but have you ever seen a virus come into the church of gossip, hatred, backbiting? Raise your hands. Yeah. So what does that do to the whole feeling of whether God's presence is there? What does that do? Defiles everything. I know we're all guilty of it now and again. But that's why when we take communion, God says, make things right. If you don't, I haven't made things right with your brethren, with your friends, with those that you love, then don't take communion. Because you defile his temple. And when you bring those in, guess what, guys? You defile your heart too. You bring it in, you defile your heart. And who wants a heart that looks like this? Point number three. There are consequences to our unholy behavior. Listen to this. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I love this. The scripture is just great. He says, now consider this. Look at this date. Look at before you started working on the temple. How was that working for you? Was life great? Or do you feel that you were just getting by? Were you getting half portions? And instead of having more monies in the bank, you're just meeting your expenses. That's what he's saying to them. Look at this date. He says, before I talk to you about a change of heart, before we had this discussion, this is what God is saying. You couldn't make ends meet. You only harvested half of what you thought you would. Only 40% of the vineyard produced wine. And you had blight, mildew, and hail. And guess what? Nothing changed in your life. I know the guys from the Phoenix house knows the definition of insanity very, very, very well. That's when you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result. And that will happen to the church if we're not careful. That will happen in a church when we're doing work, laboring without doing work unto the Lord with a heart that is so excited about cleaning the place up, Jerry, or fixing the door that doesn't squeak anymore. That's excitement instead of going all the drudgery and fixing this, fixing that. I never had so much fun in my life until the last 3 weeks. Jerry and I worked together. He's a master of everything. He's taught me how to fix doors, how to put in a ballast, and how to do a garage door. And I praise God for that. And I praise God for that. It said God struck Israel. And what he was saying to their hearts, he was saying the same thing to get their attention. I mean, it says here, I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me. Did he do it just to hurt them? Or did he do it to say, I'm here. I'm here. He gave them what they needed, right? No more. Trying to say, come to me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I want your heart. I want you to build my temple so I can worship with you, so I can dwell with you. That's why. Building the temple is not for me just to be worshipped. It's for me to be with you so I can delight in you and you in me. That's what building the temple is all about. Whether it's a temple for God or a church or individually in our heart, that's what he wants from us. That's exactly what he wants from us. And he'll try to get our attention. I'll guarantee it. He'll try to get our attention. And again, he says, look at this state. You know, consider this. Consider what you're doing in your life. And he's saying that to us, the same thing. He's trying to get our attention. He's just trying to get our attention. But listen to this last point. You've got to love it. Number 4. There are good consequences to obeying God. And I say, so let's plant. What does that mean? Haggai 2, 18 through 19. From this day on, the marker, you hear that? From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, this is the time, from this point on, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive trees have not borne fruit. From this on, I will bless you. Isn't that great? He's pointing out that on this December 18th, 520 BC, if you turn your heart to me, if you build my temple because you love me, not because of a chore, if we reunite and I have your heart, this day, the day you give me your heart, this day, mark this day, I will bless you. Aren't the scriptures great? It says, look before. Look before you gave your heart to Christ. Look before. Look before you started just giving everything to Him. Look what happened before, and then look after. How many here have a before and after story to tell? Amen. Amen. He wants us to start building the foundations of our faith in our heart. He wants to make a home for me. He wants to make a home that He and I can talk and walk together. And if you do, watch out, because life will change dramatically. I will guarantee it. And I like this. And if you have any seed left in a barn, get it out and start planting. Here's before, you planted, you only got a portion, it met your needs, but you were not prosperous. But from this date that you build my temple, and from this date that you allow me to reside in your heart, from this date, I will bless you. Come on, give me an amen. Okay. We need to make time for Him. We need to make time for Him morning, noon, and night. That time doesn't mean that you have to run in a church and you got to kneel down and pray before that cross. But what that time means is that we pray without ceasing. And everything we do, we take to God. And as we're driving down the road, we say, God, I don't know what you have for me today, but I know you're there. You promised me. Help me live my life out to the fullest. Help me to use my gifts to bear fruit, that I may be prosperous in my soul. That's what He's asking for. Prosperous in my soul. How many wants a prosperity in their soul? Amen. 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 I'm sorry. I'm not going Pentecostal on you. I just love this scripture so much. Just love it. Let's go to this cartoon. I was hoping to keep the Sabbath day holy, but I can't even find it on the calendar. Ow. That's a big ow. Memorial Day weekend, how come we're not packing out the churches? How come people aren't setting aside this day to say, I'm going to pray for this country. I'm going to pray for those that are overseas. I'm going to come to church to have my heart forward with God and make my petitions for this nation. So, dear Grace Christian Fellowship Church, especially Mariah, if you begin or continue to build a foundation in your hearts for Christ, if you allow Jesus through the Holy Spirit to guide your lives, then mark this day. Mark this day. May 29, 2011. Mark this day. Because from this day on, you will be blessed. Use this day as a marker. Use this day as another side marker, because you've given your life to Christ, but you've fallen back. Use this day, May 29, 2011, as a marker in which I know that I have to spend more time with my Savior. I have to do it. Not because I want prosperity in the monetary sense, but I want my soul prosper because sometimes I go through dry times. Sometimes I go through dry times. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, 16 says this, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Before the date. Get it? Before the date. "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" God has given all of you gifts and talents to be used for His kingdom. And maybe up to this point, you have only seen glimpses of the results of those gifts. Only glimpses of how God wants to use you. But if you build that relationship with Him, watch out. Mark this day. Consider what has happened in your lives before this day, and watch what happens afterwards. For this date, if you allow God to continue to change your heart, He will, I guarantee, bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You sometimes broken because we don't spend that time with You that we really desire to do. Help us, Lord, to build Your temple out of excitement and in anticipation, not out of drudgery, not out of obligation. Help us to understand, Lord, that You put things in our lives to draw things to You, not to scare us away. And that You have so much waiting for us. So many presents waiting for us. Such a fullness of soul waiting for us if we would just allow You into our lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is time for anybody here today that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that wants Him in their hearts. This Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that He was sent by God, fully man, and fully God, to die for us, to take away all of our sins, to offer us forgiveness. And He wants us to take that because He wants a relationship with us. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Heavenly Father, I just turn away from my past. I repent of all those things because I really want You to enter into my heart, and I want to be a part of building Your kingdom. And Lord, I want You to be my Lord and Savior. I want someone to guide me because what I've been doing all these years just isn't working. If you said this prayer for the first time, I'd like to know because I really do want to pray for you. And if you said this prayer for the first time and accepted Christ today, please let me know by raising your arm up and putting it right back down with every head bowed and every eye closed. But just put your arm up and right back down. Dear Lord, we love You so much. And there's a joy to know that You love us more. Help us to dwell in that. Help us to abide in You. And more than anything, Lord, help us get the seed out of the barn so that we can build Your kingdom. So we pray this in Jesus' name. And certainly all God's people said,